It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd. Only on Paramount Plus.
It is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning Five and Change. Great show coming for you. Mark Porter, Bill Kerlick. It is the Grand Poobah's birthday. He is 39 again, wouldn't you know it. But we will get to that. Deep dive on quarterbacks today, especially future Buckeye Tavian St. Clair. But first, I think we both know this. Nothing says summer like the taste of a juicy, tender burger grilled to perfection. And nobody does burger perfection quite like Omaha Steaks. Right now, you can taste burger perfection for yourself with the Burger Perfection Flight. This exclusive package includes 20 of their mouth-watering steak burgers for each of their pure ground filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, and sirloin burgers. You'll get all of this deliciousness for just $79.99. That's 20 beefy, juicy steak burgers for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and order today. These are the kind of burgers that can only come from Omaha Steaks, from the mild and tender filet mignon burger to the rich and buttery ribeye burger. Everybody's backed by their 100% unconditional guarantee. Get ready for grilling season with the Burger Perfection Flight. So for just $79.99, when you shop omahasteaks.com, 20 mouth-watering pure ground burgers for just $79.99. As I said, if you do the math, cheaper than a burger at McDonald's. Go to omahasteaks.com and shop the Burger Perfection Flight today and use code BUCKNUTS for $79.99. All righty. That is a heck of a deal. I'm not going to go into a diatribe on fast food. Going to bring in my guys, gentlemen. Let's see here. We had a very interesting weekend. Let me bring some stuff up here. Okay. Very interesting weekend. Elite 11 at Upper Arlington in Columbus, right outside. Peggy Jean, they're not going to work for you, babe. Right outside Columbus. And let me block old Peggy. There we go. Lots of quarterbacks on display, but obviously the one we're going to talk about is Tavian St. Clair. I would like to mention this. RJ Day was there as well, a couple others, Ohio's. We'll get to all that. But Andrew Ivins, you guys have seen him on here before, director of scouting for 24/7 Sports, said Sunday he's currently ranked Tavian as the number two quarterback. This was the first time Andrew got to see him in person. His quote, Sunday could serve as a launching pad in Tavian's path to number one. So things are good. Bill, you were there. Bring us up to speed. Mark, tell me when to roll.
You could go whenever Bill wants it. He's going to start off talking about these guys. This is Bill Kerlick's video from the Elite 11 there. And you know, I'll let Bill start off with this because these are the guys he saw.
Go ahead, Bill.
That right there is Tavian St. Clair on the move to his left on that first clip. This one's a drop back. The first thing is Tavian, you know, he just looks better and better every time I see him. I think back to a year ago when I was up in Maslin and he was there, and it's like it's a different guy. Physically, you were talking about he being the number two quarterback, Dan, and when you look at him physically compared to the number one quarterback, there's no doubt physically Tavian is a much better looking guy. And then with Andrew Ivan seeing him in person, you know, I think that he saw the way he throws the ball. We just had a clip a second ago of Nathan Bernhard from Ashland. And he's a good looking kid physically. First thing I think about is heights are usually inflated. Not with Nathan. He's a legitimate 6'5", in my opinion.
So that was Nathan right there, Dan.
Yeah. And the other guy we
throw that back up because we have Levy Davis coming and a few others. Say,
yeah. Levi Davis was there. That's Nathan Bernhard right there throwing with Levi Davis. Levi is number 160 there. That's the biggest thing size-wise that Levi Davis has going against him. He's only 5'11", 6 foot tall. That makes it tough, no question. But he is an explosive athlete. If you watch him in a game, he's an explosive athlete. And then the other one is RJ Day. There's RJ right there. That's on cue, calling up RJ Day. Again, what a difference a year makes.
Oh, yeah.
RJ Day was throwing at Maslin a year ago, and he looks so much more physically mature, and just he's a poised kid. He's now been a varsity starting quarterback at Columbus DeSales. A year made a lot of difference for him. I remember a year ago, RJ Davis was coming off throwing the small ball. He's coming off a middle school year of football, and they have the small ball. Well, when you get an Elite 11, it's the real thing. It's the big ball, the same ball that they use size-wise college and everything else. So that was an adjustment for him. It's not an adjustment anymore because RJ Day is a lot bigger and more mature physically than he was a year ago.
Bill, the question, how big is RJ?
You know, I think I didn't hear what they measured him at, and I didn't ask that question. But to me, he looks like he's pushing 6 foot tall now. Yeah. So that's a big difference from a year ago.
Mark, your thoughts on what you saw out there, top to bottom.
I love that the rest of the world is catching up to Bill and I with Tavian St. Clair. Yeah. You know, it's fun to have been ahead of the curve on that one. He nailed it with Nathan Bernhard. We kind of saw a private workout of his and showed you a few clips. And Bill, like I've always said, is when I see someone somewhere and Bill sees him somewhere else and we kind of come together with the same opinion, that's a good sign. Nathan Bernard's a driver of the ball. He can really throw it deep down the field. So that's his number one trait. The next thing is Levy Davis. When you said explosive athlete, that was the trait that really makes him, you know, a little better because, you know, the height isn't there. But when he takes off running, he's borderline special, like Braxton Miller. He really gets out there and can make some people miss. And he's been playing since his freshman year. And then lastly, RJ Day, the thickness in his shoulders and his chest, you can see the weight room. I would give him at least an inch to 10 and 15 pounds since the last time I've seen him. And that's probably going to put the more velocity on his ball. It looked to be coming off his hand pretty hot there in the video. But what I liked about RJ this season is he's had some good instructors, obviously, but he's taken to what those instructors are saying. Like his feet from the ground up, he has a great rhythm to him when he steps into his throws and he gets his feet set, his delivery and, you know, his positioning of the ball. You could tell he's been coached up, and now it's just a matter of him getting the strength and the size to go with all that. And he'll be a guy we keep talking about.
We should mention here, too, real quick, that Chip Kelly is going to see these guys tomorrow. He's supposed to see Tavian St. Clair tomorrow. He's going to watch him throw. It'll be the first time that Chip Kelly will have seen Tavian St. Clair throw in person. That will be tomorrow. He will be impressed, I'm pretty sure. He will also see Nathan Bernhard tomorrow. He's supposed to be at Ashland tomorrow. And there's a possibility he might see Davis. One other thing with Davis that I want to mention, I was talking to someone at the Elite 11, and we both agreed that, you know, he's at least a MAC guy right now, Davis. and he could be better than that, depending on how much he grows over the next year or so and how much he develops. He could be better than that. It'll be interesting to see. Maybe some school wants him even as is, as a package guy that, you know, you go in and he could be snapping the ball and he maybe runs, he maybe throws, that type of guy. But not necessarily as your full-time starting quarterback if you're a Power 5 guy. Maybe somebody wants him that way right now. If not, you know, maybe he changes positions.
I was going to ask that. Is he that, like,
he's explosive.
We've done that before. I mean, there are a lot of guys who've played option quarterback in high school and been a defensive back or a slot receiver. It's actually pretty common. Do you view that in his future? That usually tends to be the determination of the player if he wants to go that route.
I don't think that's out of the question at all. But I don't rule out him getting a little bit bigger, a little stronger and all that in the next year and being a Power 5 quarterback. I don't rule that out at all either.
He's got some whip to his arm, and it does come out of there pretty hot. Yeah. So as long as that arm's live, if it's just, you know, a lot of quarterbacks are fine tuning that accuracy stuff right now. So he'll have a window where he can kind of try to do that. And you hope he gets the 6 foot, and 6 foot's tall enough. Many of you guys get it done at 6 foot if you have the hot arm.
Oh, in college and high school, I think 6 foot's no longer a, I mean, it used to be the line of demarcation, I would say, but thank you, Drew Brees and Russell Wilson, and those guys have shown Bryce everybody Young. That you can. Yeah, you even Brock. How tall is Brock Purdy?
Yeah, and JT Barrett, I don't think was the tallest guy. Troy Smith, you'll draw those comparisons. You know, you can get it done. So there's time there, and we've seen him play as a freshman and a sophomore. So you've seen the workings of, just like RJ Day, he played as a freshman. You're not going to make an indictment off the freshman sophomore seasons. Those are the learning years.
Sure. And like we said, he's got the keys to the gym, as it were. If you look at the guys who look like me that tend to play high level basketball, every single one of their dads was a high school basketball coach. And those guys were in the gym at about 6 a.m. every day. You know, you can't find a place to shoot. These guys always had a place to shoot. So I imagine RJ's access to the weight room and maybe a little extra film work is better than most. So you're going to get whatever RJ Day could possibly become. My guess is he will reach his potential. I don't think there'll be an issue with him in that respect. All right, Bill, where are our coaches? You have a story about them hitting the road. I want to get into running backs, et cetera. We're going to talk a little about Cody Adad. But set the scene right now for the staff. What are they up to?
Well, they started out yesterday. They didn't go last week. That, like we talked about last week on this show, they were working on roster retention, that type of thing. And, you know, they were going to wait till yesterday, Monday, to get out on the road to recruit. And Larry Johnson and Jim Knowles made a couple what I think were significant stops. Marion Dye from Indiana, and then also from Indiana, Damian Shanklin. And wouldn't be surprised to see one of those guys in Ohio State's class. It's right now, it's kind of hard to pick which one, but I guess if I had to go out on a limb, I'd probably go with Damian Shanklin. But Knowles and Larry Johnson don't start off their week recruiting-wise, in fact, their month recruiting-wise or whatever, going to see a couple guys that there are not a high degree of mutual interest in. Then I mentioned Chip Kelly will be seeing the quarterbacks tomorrow in Ohio. What I thought was significant, too, is I mentioned in this article that Carlos Lachlan will be up in Cleveland next week, and he will be seeing Bo Jackson on Monday, a week from yesterday, and that'll be significant. Bo certainly is a guy that I could absolutely see in this Ohio State class. In fact, I think I've had him crystal ball for quite some time to Ohio State. We'll see if that works out, but I haven't switched that pick, and I made it a long time ago.
Okay, Bill, I'm going to jump the line here and ask the question that everybody's going to ask. If he's going to see Bo Jackson, is he also going to head over? How far is it from St. Ed's to Cleveland Heights, Bill?
As
the crow flies?
Cleveland St. Joe to Cleveland Heights, you mean?
Correct.
Because Bo Jackson,
St. Joe, St. Ed's, yeah. I got him confused.
He said St. Ed's. Bo's St. Joseph, and I don't know. Mark, what would you say the distance?
Aren't they both on the west side?
Yeah, that's not far. Villa Angela St. Joe's actually has one of the coolest facilities out there. Their practice field is on Lake Erie. I mean, you throw a ball too far, it could bounce in the Lake Erie off the practice field. So it's windy there. Not too far south, maybe 20 minutes, 15 minutes would be Cleveland Heights. And that's mainly because of traffic. That Cedar Road area there is brutal.
As the crow flies,
You guys are doing
Marquise Davis. Yeah, Marquise, sorry, but sorry, Mark. Marquise Davis. This is not going to be the greatest vibe here, is it, Bill?
Yeah, as of when I checked last, nothing was scheduled there. But again, that was a couple of days ago. I'll check again and see if anything is scheduled. Yeah, we'll see. I know Mark was at saw Marquise Davis's teammate. I believe Sunday evening, Mark.
I thought you guys were setting this up for me. That's why I interrupted. As you guys were talking about Villa Angela St. Joe's, the quarterback they have, Kylan Stewball, he's a 6'3", 6'4", kid that can rip the ball. He has left Villa Angela St. Joe's to go to Euclid. He was at the workout I was at Sunday night with all the Cleveland Heights players. Marquise Davis could not make the workout because he was coming back from a Kentucky visit. So there's your update on Marquise for the weekend. I'm sure Kentucky did an outstanding job of trying to lure him down there, so they just made their pitch. Brandon Caesar was the featured filet mignon for, you know, Buckeye fans. And Thursday's podcast, we'll have some video of these guys, and we'll kind of show you some of the top prospects coming out of that camp. But Stewball, Brandon Caesar, there were some names there we're going to need to know. And much like the raw talent workouts we've been breaking down, not much news on Marquise Davis with Ohio State Bills. Right. Nothing really set up there. And, you know, I guess it's business as usual as we go into the college showcase season. And that'll be the next set of things that start here in May. As I look at my calendar, we're 7 days away from May, basically. And I have 3 weeks in a row of I'll probably see 200 high school. I'll be at 200 different high schools almost if I could. It's going to be a crazy couple of weeks.
Right now, Marquise Davis, the big three, and Ohio State fans don't necessarily want to hear this, but the big three, and I will say in no particular order, everybody's talking Michigan with Marquise Davis, and he could end up there. But do not sleep on Kentucky. Do not sleep on Tennessee. Those are the big three right now with Marquise Davis at this point. That could change, but as of right now, those are the big three, and it's a close battle. He likes all three of those schools right now.
So why isn't Ohio State involved?
A big part of it is Marquise Davis is a relationship guy, and through no fault of his own, Carlos Lachlan wasn't at Ohio State to recruit him. While he was at Oregon, he didn't really recruit Marquise Davis, so they didn't have a relationship, and that's set Ohio State back. And that's, again, that's no fault of Ohio State or Carlos Lachlan that he wasn't necessarily recruiting Marquise Davis then. I mean, you know, he's out there at Oregon. He's not at Ohio State at that point.
Well, yeah. I don't think Marquise Davis ever would have. I mean, I guess USC and Oregon should really cover their bases, but I don't think Oregon traditionally recruits Ohio anyway, so I don't see that would hold it against him. But it is an interesting development to have a guy of that caliber in your state and not kind of have a relationship with him. So that, and I will say this, running back is one of those positions where it does seem the recruitments can be a little different. They can go a little longer. Shoot, we got Mayan Williams after he was already booked to go to Iowa State late in the process. So I think we'll hold judgment on that and hope things maybe work out in the long run. Until then, I need to do our next ad here, if that's okay with everybody. A lot of complaints today. You can tell it's the off season because everyone starts offering up their advice on how to run the show, Mark. Just kidding. Not kidding at all. Gooder. Check these things out. You want to make these guys jealous? Look at these. These are called Call Me Tarmac Daddies. $25. Here's Gooder. Here's the sharp. I'm the guy who lost his glasses at the first five Ohio State games I went to where it started in the sun and ended in the dark, and they were prescription, and I did take some L's on the marriage game with that. So this is what Gooder will do for you. Stylish sunnies starting at only $25 a pair, no slip, no bounce, all polarized, all fun. If you check their website, they've got like 50,000 five-star reviews. You get a one-year warranty, 30-day free returns. You get pop art for your face. They're fun. They got great names. But the best part about it is, like, they sent us three pairs. You don't have to freak out. If you take them out, you can always replace them. They're so affordable, I never worry about losing or breaking them. They release new colors and collabs, so you can get whatever you want. I saw the ones that Dave had on yesterday, Back Nine Blackout. They have flamingos on a booze cruise. Donkey goggles, I think, would look good on Mark Porter. They're great for running, cycling. Bill, running. Believe it or not, the Dean's still training for the Cleveland Marathon. Great for running, cycling, working out, golfing, going to the beach, hiking, or just chilling. Lightweight, stylish, and they do not slip off your face. If you want support and try a pair, Gooder is giving Bucknuts 25 listeners free shipping. So you can go to gooder.com/bucknuts, GOODR.com/bucknuts. Use code Bucknuts for free shipping, 30-day money-back guarantee, and 100% satisfaction. Kind of like these two guys. All right. Let's get back to our comments and see if we can answer any questions for the people. There was some discussion up here, Mark. I think it was started by D. Sanchez, asking about spring football in Ohio. Now, she was either kind of poking fun at us because she's in Texas or she really didn't know. Regardless, we'd be much better off if we did have it. Bring us up to speed, sir.
Going back a couple of years, and I'm not sure if it's two or three, there was no such thing as any spring football in Ohio, any practices in Ohio. All you really did in the off season was lift weights. And during those lifting sessions, if you could wink, wink, tell your players to go play catch after the game, practice on their own and do a lot of stuff on their own, that was Ohio football. The Ohio coaches have slowly added practice days to the spring calendar where they're allowed so many days to get together with their team and run a practice and, you know, use a ball and maybe work on some plays. But there's no pads. There's no real spring game, so to speak, where you play yourself at the end or maybe even play an opponent. So all it is, you know, trying to get kids together who maybe are in other sports at those times with these, some of the practices in the morning before school, some after school. And I'm not sure the exact amount of days. I bet you it's less than 10 or in that ballpark. It's maybe like 2 weeks, and maybe they can spread it out over 3 weeks of a couple of practices. But we're working for it. I know there's coaches that are trying to push it to get more of that, you know, developmental time in the off season. The 7-on-7 is the big news in Ohio, where it used to be the May 15th to July 31st window. Now that window is wide open, and you know that's going to make a difference for development, especially for the quarterbacks, receivers, defensive backs. The linemen, I'm not so sure if they're as excited as everybody else.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I feel about it. It's a hot button issue, though. I spoke to some non-football people about this last week, and their view on it is completely different. You know what I mean? Like, any coach who doesn't coach football in the school is fearful of this rule going through in Ohio, that he's going to lose his two or three studs that can't, you know, your baseball players, your lacrosse players and stuff will be taken up elsewhere. But
in the other part of this, and high school coaches aren't getting raises with 7-on-7 coming. Correct. And that means they're going to be coaching all days at 7-on-7s, and they're going to be traveling, and it's going to be an expense added to the football programs. And the money isn't necessarily, oh, okay, we added 7-on-7. Here's an extra $3,000 to send your team to all these events. It's going to come from somewhere. So that's one of the hidden, you know, not silver linings of this process.
Here's also a not so hidden aspect of that. You pay the piper in your marriage. Your wife is not psyched on you taking an extra 3 months off to go watch someone else's kids run around for no cash. I can tell you that for a fact. Excuse me. All right.
Also, might I talked to one of the top coaches in Ohio this weekend. I saw him. He said, we're not going to overdo it. We're going to go to a few of these 7-on-7s, but we're not going all over the place, and we're not going to overdo it. We don't need to, he felt like. As Mark said, there's been days added to the calendar for the high school teams and their coaches and all that, and they're not going crazy on it, you know, generally speaking.
It's almost like football's getting more like basketball, and the basketball system is effed. So I wouldn't follow that one. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. I think the AAU system is at its absolute zenith of terribleness. I would hate for football to follow that. Now, you really can't. It's just much, much more difficult to run a football camp than just throw a bunch of guys into a gym. Mark, you want to say something? You good?
I was going to say, we talked about this the last time, and I don't want to rehash it, but I know there's new listeners. The watering down of AAU is what happened, where every kid plays on an AAU team, and the super teams are playing the national schedule, where everybody else is playing in the local gyms, and it's a developmental thing. It's not about recruiting, and I think the kids are sometimes fooled to think the 7-on-7 is going to be about recruiting when they need to think of it as in a different light. The big time guys like Trey McNutt, and how many in the top 100, how many of them are receivers, quarterbacks, and defensive backs? 30 in that group, you know, 40, maybe half. Those are the kids that are going to get scooped up on 4 or 5 teams. Those will be your national teams. And then the rest of the world is just playing 7-on-7 to get better and work with their team. And, you know, I'm not saying that's bad, but it's not this, you know, break free of scholarships that are going to come in because you can go run around in your shorts.
It's not the yellow brick road, man. That's what people don't understand. And you're totally right. If you're going for the 7-on-7 or AAU basketball and you're not a big-time player and you're going and your goal is, I want to be a better varsity athlete, that's why I'm here, you're doing the right thing. If you're going to these things thinking that, you know, Purdue is going to be standing in the parking lot and offer you a scholarship, that does not happen. They're not even allowed to go to half these things. So – basketball has gone out of control. It's $70 a day. And I hate to complain about money publicly, but $70 a day for a parent to go, come on, man. If you're not getting for 70 bucks, you should buy yourself some Burger Flight Perfection if you're going to do that. You could stay home and grill the whole time, Bill.
I love how you pay to get in, and then they make you run the scorers tables, and they make you run all the other stuff. It's like, then they put you to work.
I'll tell you what. Let me do my imitation when the coach turns to the parents and says, anybody want to work the desk or work the thing? Here's me. And if you don't think I'll keep my head down until the first quarter's over, you are wrong.
No hablo ingles.
Come on, man. And I will tell the guy, if I sit at the desk, we're going to get thrown out of here because I'm going to work the refs up close and personal. And that usually gets you out of it.
Real quick, go back. I did see somebody ask a question about what's up with the UCLA wide receiver in the portal. I had an article last week that Kyle Ford is who they're talking about, the UCLA wide receiver in the portal. He was a 5-star guy coming out of high school, but he battled injury problems. He originally was at USC, then he went to UCLA, and Of course, he was there with Chip Kelly, so there's a connection there. Never really quite lived up to everything, in part because of injuries. But anyway, he had a high state among his six schools, and he told me last week that Chip Kelly was supposed to check in with him again this week, probably the first part of the week. So we'll see. I'm going to be checking on that one today, but nothing was going to happen, at least until the beginning of this week, when he had another conversation or checked in again with Chip Kelly. But he is interested in Ohio State. He told me that, hey, you know, why wouldn't I be? The guy that's there now running their offense is a guy I've already played with. You talk about relationships, there's one.
Yeah, but it's great that he was a five-star and stuff, but I don't see that guy getting many minutes at Ohio State. He'd be a depth piece. That would surprise me.
No, I don't think he's going to walk in and take Jeremiah Smith or Emeka Ebuka's place. No.
I mean, yikes. There were some questions about the kicker, Graham Nicholson from Miami of Ohio. He is committed to Alabama, I believe, Bill.
Yep, went to Alabama. He announced that yesterday, I believe it was. But it wasn't a shock. He was either going to end up at Alabama or Ohio State. And going in, you know, when he got in the portal, he had a pretty good feeling about Alabama. Ohio State had an interest, but Ohio State's got Jaden Fielding. Jaden Fielding's not too bad. Now, Graham Nicholson's an All-American, but he really, you know, that was where he was likely going to go, and that's where he went.
Graham Nicholson is an Ohio guy from the start, isn't he? Is he not?
He's from Cincinnati. Summit Country Day. There are two Country Day high schools down there in the Cincinnati area. People get them mixed up sometime. He is from Summit Country Day High School near Cincinnati. And Xavier Johnson, that's where he is from, by the way.
Summit Country Day, that's the high-tax bracket, if you want to go there. But they do produce some really good athletes. Like Penn's quarterback came out of there. You remember that? He was an option guy, played basketball as well. Did my teeth again, sorry. Your thoughts on Chip Kelly to finish this off, Bill? Are you getting the vibe that I'm getting? I'm going to have a thing in the boarding house today that I got from an NFL guy. The returns coming in on Chip Kelly, and Mark, you can maybe comment on this, are even more impressive than I thought. He has a lot of fans in the coaching community. I wasn't aware how many people hold him in such high regard. When you talk behind the scenes in the pros and even in college, Mark, I don't know if you're seeing that as well, but people are very high on Chip Kelly. In fact, when I talk Ohio State with someone, you know, outside our little insular Bucknuts world, that's usually the first guy they want to hear about. Are you getting the same, Bill, Mark?
It's pretty obvious that Marvin Harrison's going to be a top pick in the draft. It's pretty obvious that Jeremiah Smith is going to be an instant home run. And the same vibes are Chip Kelly. Like you're saying, when I talk to a few college coaches, they're like, that is a home run hire. The relationship with Day and Kelly is already there, but what he brings to an offense, and he's one of those guys that sometimes he's used to working with subpar pieces and trying to get those pieces to, you know, fit. I think he's got all the pieces to the puzzle here, and he can really put some go-go juice in this offense. And even if it's the speed of play and getting back up on the line and, you know, getting the ball rolling a little quicker, I think the tempo, I think from his attitude and even the practice I was at, the way he bounces around and he's smiling and laughing with the guys, there's something going on there with this offense.
Bill, he's already got Tavian Sinclair coming, but I imagine as you speak to these quarterbacks, the Kelly impact is felt.
Oh, no doubt. Ohio State now has 8 scholarship offers out to 2026 quarterbacks. Of those 8, 7 of those offers came after Chip Kelly arrived at Ohio State. He made those offers, and I can tell you, I have been in contact with every single one of those kids since Chip Kelly got hired, the 7 that he offered and the one that was already offered by Corey Dennis back last June, that being Will Griffin. And all of those quarterbacks speak very highly of getting an offer from Chip Kelly and what that means for Ohio State. They are very much looking forward. In most cases, they haven't met him in person yet. Will Griffin did because he was at Ohio State just recently. But most of them have not met Chip Kelly in person yet, and they are very much looking forward to that.
We are very much looking forward to the rest of this week. I know I am because I am headed out of town for the weekend. So Dave Biddle will be sailing the good ship Bucknuts Morning Five for a week. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, guys. So I will come back with no highlights. Appreciate these guys stopping by. Have a good one, Bucknutters.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.